Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host, and we're glad to have you with us on the program today. You know, there's probably an issue that's, can't think of anything that's hardly been as divisive to the culture at large as the issue of homosexuality, same-sex attraction. And it's also been divisive in the church, but only in the sense that, well, we get upset when it comes out into the open. It is something that we would like to keep quiet, I think, in so many cases. And because of the quietness, it's in the quietness, in the darkness, where bad things grow and are not helpful. Well, let's talk about it today. Let's just jump right into the subject, because I've come across a brand new book called Love Into Light, and it's written by Pastor Peter Hubbard, pastor of the North Hills Community Church in Taylor, South Carolina. And Pastor Hubbard and his church has developed, again, a ministry as well as a perspective on homosexuality and same-sex attraction, which he's brought into this little book, and we're happy to have him here on Peace Talk to talk about today. Pastor Hubbard, glad to have you on Peace Talk.
Good to be with you, Larry.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, let's let our audience get to know you a little bit, and then go right into the idea. How did your church and how did you get so deeply involved in this particular subject?
Way back, I think it began with just looking into the eyes of, most often it was young men who had been battling with same-sex attraction, had told no one, had really no hope that they could get help. And I really didn't have the answers. I didn't know what to say at the beginning. And just crying out to God for his perspective and for the hope of the gospel to be brought to this struggle. Is this a sin, a struggle that someone can overcome? Is this something that you're born with? Is this something that you will die with? And it just seemed like the church wasn't saying a whole lot.
What I find fascinating, Pastor, about your comment was, we seem to be on the, let's call ourselves for right now, for just a minute, the religious right, the conservative right, the Bible Belt kind of Christian. We're rarely uncertain about things. And so when you say, hey, people were coming to me and asking me questions and bringing me matters, and I was uncertain about that, I didn't know the answer, that doesn't sound like a person in the Bible Belt who's supposed to be clear and concise and straightforward about everything. Can you discern in your own mind why you were processing this to be uncertain?
That's a good question. Because I think if we look at the issue of homosexuality just through the lens of the homosexual activists you see marching in a gay pride march, then it seems really cut and dry. And I think Christians feel much more comfortable often dealing with this issue from a distance. Those are the people who are ruining our country kind of perspective. But I want to challenge the church to rethink that issue and to stop viewing it primarily through the lens of just politics or just movements, but begin to look at it through people. Like when Jesus stepped into crowds and his heart was moved with compassion, because he saw that there were sheep without shepherds. He saw people desperately in need.
You know, when you say that, my mind went to two places that I have been. I've been to the Holocaust Museum in Israel and the one in Washington. And what I was struck by, the one I went to first was in Washington. What struck me about that and what I thought was the impact was that whole museum was designed to introduce you to people. As long as Jewish people stayed a group, then you could distance yourself from them. But everything they did in the museum put faces on it. They're like you. They had hopes. They had dreams. They wore shoes. Here's a pile of shoes. They wore shoes.
Yes.
They were just people. Now, what you were finding out, I think, was when individuals actually came to you, they were no longer a group. They were a face, a person with a need. And somehow or another, the standard party line, call it that, didn't work at that moment, then did it?
No, that's a great comparison, because if we have a mob mentality, then we can categorize people and cast them away. Those are the people who have AIDS. Those are the people who have done really bad things. But when you begin to look at people through the eyes of Jesus, all of that changes, and you begin to see eyes. And also, I have to clarify that this is not just a Christian problem. This is our whole country views it this way. Our country denies that the people I was speaking to exist. They deny, and I know I'm talking generally here, but they deny that there are people who experience same-sex attraction that don't want to live a homosexual lifestyle. Those people, and I believe there are actually more of those people than would define themselves as gay or lesbian. That there are more people that want help overcoming those desires and living a different life than there are who are living that life.
As I listen to you and as I read other things and even other subjects, it seems like what is happening is that people are beginning to realize that no matter what we talk about, people are more alike than they're different. Is that true?
Yes. And that's what happened, sitting face to face with people who struggle in this area. And as I asked them questions and listened to their struggles, it sounded so familiar. They're the same as the particular manifestation of those struggles may be different than my own. I was married, had kids, had never struggled in that area. But the roots of those struggles were the same insecurity, the same fear, the same greed, the same lust, you know, it. And that's, we begin to see ourselves as alike in our sin and desperately alike in our need of grace.
Now, you're not making an apology for homosexuality, are you? I mean, many people, when they hear someone talk like that, they say, well, you're now going soft on sin. But you're not doing that, are you?
No, and I get that response periodically. There are people who feel uncomfortable even talking about this issue without the words abomination or condemnation coming up very early in the conversation. And so let's just set the record straight. Living a lifestyle of homosexuality is sin.
But you don't consider, in fact, your book talks about this, you don't consider this sin on steroids.
No.
I think that was one of your statements here. But the church sees it that way, as if, I mean, there are passages of Scripture which might make you think, if you weren't careful, that this is what sin looks like when it's really sin.
Yes.
This kind of a person. And it's different. But you take the tack, no, it's not.
No.
What would you, just to help our audience here who have sin and struggle, homosexuality and that sin and same-sex attraction is just like, just name some of the other sins it might be just like so we can identify with them.
Well, that's what happens when you listen to someone, you ask them questions and they share their struggles and you start seeing that this is no different than my heart of greed, my heart of lust. Whether I'm have a perverted lust after women who are not my wife, or a perverted lust after money that is not my own, or I'm bound in anxiety. Now, I'm not saying the fruits of all those sins are the same. The Bible does describe the fact that there are consequences for some sins that are different than other sins. But I'm saying before God, our hearts are the same. And we desperately need Jesus to change our hearts.
Well, in your research, then just kind of catalog how have churches typically responded, and we're using the term here same-sex attraction as a shorthand mm-hmm. for all of these the homosexuality and lesbianism. You do that in your book. How has the church traditionally responded to these? You've talked about some ways, but how do we respond to these folks when they actually come, if they do come?
There's a great variety in that response, but often it is characterized by fear of what, like one man said recently, if these people get in our church, they're going to bring AIDS, they're going to destroy our children, you know, that kind of fear, as though there are people out there who are purposely trying to prey on your church. Others just pretend that the problem doesn't exist. You know, that's just out there somewhere. And what my research or just experience as well reveals is that there are very few churches that do not have people who are struggling right now with same-sex attraction. The question is whether they will be open or honest. And they probably will not if there's not an atmosphere of openness and honesty in general.
Maybe you just answered the question, but you've sort of told us why the church is afraid of the person of same-sex attraction. In your research and your study and your interfacing with people with same-sex attraction problems, why are they afraid of the church?
Because often the response that I hear from, in my conversations with people who are afraid of how the church will respond, they are afraid they will be labeled and discarded. They will be, you know, they may be welcomed as long as they don't live the lifestyle of homosexuality, but they will never be accepted as anyone else would be accepted.
As we come down towards the end of the first half of the program, Pastor, what do you think is the value of your book? And obviously we'll come back after the break and talk more about it, but we'll lose a few people during the break. What is the value of a book like yours, Love Into Light? What are you trying to do for the church?
Three things: help pastors have a vocabulary to talk about this issue in a helpful way that's also biblically faithful. Secondly, help same-sex attraction strugglers have help and hope. And thirdly, help Christians in general talk about this issue with their neighbors, with their coworkers, in a way that is redemptive and is reflective of the change Jesus brings and is not characterized by a hopelessness or a fear or a circle the wagons mentality.
It'd be one thing as a pastor to talk about it in theoretical terms that this is what the church should do. But you've actually, at North Hills Community Church, talked about, you've actually begun to do this in very open ways with your congregation. And that's where I'd like to start the second half of the program and say, well, Pastor, have you been putting your money where your mouth is on this matter? How have y'all addressed the issue in your church fellowship, and how has it been received, and how has it changed, to some degree, your church fellowship in this one particular area? Our guest today is Peter Hubbard, pastor of the book Love Into Light, dealing with homosexual, the gospel, and the church. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us. We'll be glad to have you back, because this is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.